Good morning and welcome to Wilp's Wake Up Call. This is Dick Paddock, your temporary host. We are rebroadcasting last week's show because we understand that there may have been some technical difficulties in reception in our audience, and also because it's such a timely topic, healthcare reform.
National League for Peace and Freedom. We are here every Friday morning from 7:30 to 8 o'clock to bring you some of the hot and behind-the-scenes news of the day that the major media does not seem to cover very well. My name is Lori Hoyt, and my guest today is the president of the Progressive Democrats of North Carolina, Heidi Kober. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning. I'm happy to be here.
Good. And you're going to talk to us about health care, what's happening and what should be happening, and some of the behind-the-scenes deals that we wish weren't happening.
Well, thank you. Well, I'm happy to be here on this wonderful Carolina morning. I'm not so happy talking about the topic that is making for some pretty disturbing headlines right now, the stepped-up efforts to kill any meaningful health care reform. The Progressive Democrats of North Carolina, as well as our sister organization, the Progressive Democrats of America, are solidly on the side of single payer, which also is known as Medicare for All, that which would cover everyone, would be publicly funded, privately delivered, everybody in, nobody out. And even Obama recently admitted that if he had to design a healthcare system from scratch, single payer would be the most efficient and most cost-effective system. But he also allowed that he had to deal with the situation on the ground, and that is not pretty. As you may know, the past months have been singularly frustrating and disheartening for progressives who believe that access to affordable health care is a human right and should not be rationed by for-profit insurance companies. Healthcare industry insiders have been getting the VIP treatment in Washington, while single-payer advocates have been denied a seat on the table. And have even been arrested in May when they tried to be heard anyway. Most of the discussions and negotiations about health care reform have taken place behind closed doors, out of the public eyes and ears, with only strategic leaks sending out trial balloons here and there to see if an idea would fly.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, there are only about 80 votes for single payer in the House, and the Senate is an abysmal swamp where progressive policies go to die at this time.
Yeah.
Even though we have now 60 so-called Democratic votes, it is a brick wall. And that's clearly a far cry from what we need to really fundamentally change the system. So the political establishment, you know, feels quite safe to ignore our single-payer advocates.
Mm-hmm.
So progressives often have resigned themselves with much gnashing of teeth and tearing out of hair to a number of compromises to salvage the aspects of the single-payer system. And one is the public option, which is a publicly funded, not-for-profit Medicare-like program. But rather than eliminating for-profit insurance, health insurance altogether, the public option is just another choice for Americans who are shut out or are sick and tired of the system that we currently have. So single-payer advocates grimly set out to support the public option, wanting a robust public option, meaning it had to be big enough to have some clout against the power of the insurance companies and their lobbies. Then fears that the public option might become too popular and cut into the profits of private plans caused lawmakers to restrict coverage to roughly 36 million people. Only those who work for small businesses are self, under, or unemployed, or those who cannot get health care through their employers. Then some hospitals and health care providers worried that Medicare underpays providers, so the public option was made less affordable by adding 5 to 10% to the Medicare rates. Then some health care providers felt that the public option should not piggyback Medicare, even though it paid more. The fix lawmakers came up with was to allow Medicare providers to opt out of the public option while still being allowed to accept Medicare patients, thus shrinking accessibility to the public plan for many people, especially those who live in small towns in rural America where healthcare providers are few and far in between.
Heidi, this is so helpful because, you know, I try to keep pretty informed, more, I think, than maybe the average person because I'm retired and have time to pay attention. But you're putting it together with some of the stuff that I wasn't catching. So this is just really wonderful to have you here.
Well, unfortunately, I'm not finished yet.
Oh, I know. But this is it's been so confusing.
But even that was not enough for a handful of Blue Dog Democrats under the leadership of Representative Ross, who from Arkansas, a Democrat from Arkansas, is also a previous owner of a pharmacy from which he still gets 100% dividends. They felt the Medicare Plus rates were too low, so they introduced the Ross Amendment, which would make public plan negotiate rates not based on Medicare, but the prevailing market, private market rates, which makes affordability go out the window. So what happened to the public option? It was scaled back from covering about 130 million people, a large enough number to really have clout enough to be competitive on the, against the for-profits. And now it's maybe covers 10 million people.
Oh, my gosh.
But at much higher cost.
Oh, my gosh.
In the Senate, healthcare reform fared even worse. In order to create a, quote, level playing field, because, you know, those poor for-profit insurance companies made, you know, 400-something percent profit the last couple, 10 years, the public option would have to be completely separated from Medicare and would have to create its own provider network and negotiate its own rates. Well, that was not enough for the Republicans, so nonprofit health co-ops were proposed. First, it was to be a single nonprofit insurance company with a co-op legal structure with some governmental oversight by having seats on its board of directors. That was scaled back to a proposal to make seed money available to some vague others to set up co-op insurance companies if they wanted to.
Oh, my gosh.
No governmental oversight to speak of, and zero guarantee that the plan would even get off the ground. And as we all know, health co-ops have been tried before. Most failed or were taken over by for-profits. Blue Cross Blue Shield started out as a co-op.
Yeah.
And see where that got us. It is not affordable, it is not accessible, and it denies coverage to people who need it.
And it's supposed to be nonprofit, but certainly the salaries of over $1 million is, I wonder how it maintains the status of nonprofit. I wish somebody could look into the legality. If you call yourself nonprofit, is there any cap on the salaries? We're talking about capping people.
Sellers and bonuses.
And CEOs of banks, and we ought to look at CEOs of supposed nonprofit companies. It's disgusting.
Because we have to look at any bonus paid to healthcare insurance companies or healthcare providers, UNC Hospital.
Oh, look what Roper.
All of that. This means that money is not available to provide care for people. So for them to get that money, somebody has been denied care.
Or had their home foreclosed, or all of the above.
That's right. And now, with Baucus in the Senate Finance Committee stripping the public option from his committee's plan altogether, the public plan may be dead on arrival when it gets to the Senate.
Oh, Baucus stripped it altogether. Yes. I had missed that. Oh, my God.
And it was interesting, by the way, to see how insurance companies' stocks rose steeply when that made the news. There's no mistake about it. It's about money, about corporate profit.
Mm-hmm.
And the drug companies cleaned up, too, thanks to Baucus Senate Finance Committee and the deal that Obama just struck.
Let's talk a little bit about that, because I had not heard about that.
Yeah. unfortunately, when Obama stood behind the scenes deal to block any congressional efforts to extract cost savings from them beyond an agreed upon $80 billion. Remember when Obama met with the industry insiders some time ago?
But now it's just become public recently.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And the Finance Committee also proposed no cost-cutting steps, no cheaper drugs to be allowed to be imported, no direct federal government negotiations with the pharmaceutical companies to lower Medicare drug prices. Plus, the Senate Finance Committee is giving the biotech industry monopoly protection against competition from generic drugs for 12 years after they hit the market.
Oh my gosh.
And if you wonder who pays for the latest Harry and Louise commercial and guessed it was the drug companies, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
They're just salivating to cash in on this kind of reform. So what happened to the change we wanted to believe in? The opponents to real health care reform are threefold. They're those who profit handsomely from the broken system,
mm-hmm,
and do not want to change the status quo unless it would mean even more profit in an expanded market flush with taxpayer money.
Well, that's what I've been so afraid of. That
we already saw that with COBRA, mm-hmm, when the subsidized COBRA payments, instead of giving unemployed Americans who could not afford COBRA, because a COBRA is way too high for anybody living off unemployment check. It's about 30% of an individual and 80% of a family's take-home pay if you get unemployment. So it is out of reach, especially if you still want to eat and have to pay your mortgage, mm-hmm, and your light bill. So the wonderful thing was, to help people, we would use government subsidies to pay private insurance to make COBRA affordable to the unemployed, instead of giving the money directly to the unemployed without the COBRA, mm-hmm, in between, mm-hmm, extend Medicare-type benefits, mm-hmm, to the unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what the kind of reform the health care industry is hoping for.
Oh, they are salivating.
They are looking at the 47 million people who are uninsured. If they can be brought into the fold of the insured by subsidized, mm-hmm, taxpayer money, mm-hmm, through the private sector, that would be a real bonanza. And it would be a boondoggle for us, just like the Medicare Advantage drug benefit,
mm-hmm,
that is not helping anyone except the drug companies getting more profits and, mm-hmm, and at the expense of taxpayer,
mm-hmm,
money and patients',
mm-hmm,
accessibility to affordable, mm-hmm, drugs and health care.
Yes, that's what I've heard, that they had looked at their profit projections for the next 10 years, and they saw that with the rising healthcare costs, that their profit margin was going to be shrinking, and they are making an all-out effort with millions of dollars,
yes,
that they can suck up taxpayer money so that they can keep their profit margin high. And I never thought that government would be, our representatives would be so foolish as to, you know, cave into that in spite of the huge amounts of money they put in their campaigns. I guess that was naive on my part, but and I thought the president would hold firm, and so far it looks very grim.
Yeah, it does. Now, there are opponents to the public option or government funded health care from a libertarian,
mm-hmm,
part. This is a legitimate traditional, mm-hmm, ideology. We may not agree with it, but they're honest up front,
mm-hmm,
and but they're quite a minority. Then we have what I call the haters, the hate groups, mm-hmm, that seem to be mobilizing, especially right now, all across the country, and taking over the town hall meetings. Now, this is no spontaneous citizens uprising. This is organized by the first group, the healthcare profiteers. And
I've heard that Dick Armey has behind one of those groups. It's the Republicans are behind a lot of this.
Well,
Well, former, you know, Dick Army, I forget the name of the group. I heard it on the radio.
It's the many of the same groups that bring us right now the town hall takeovers mm-hmm. are the same groups that mm-hmm. sold us the Iraq War, that mm-hmm. Derailed Kerry's bid for presidency mm-hmm. through the Swift boat, veterans.
Yes.
That organized the Brooks Brothers revolt. Remember counting the ballots in Florida in 2000?
Oh, and they sent all those people to scream and yell outside the people's offices. They scared them.
And also the ones who sent Joe the Plumber across the country to decry the evils of the Employee Free Choice Act.
Yeah.
So it's the same players. It's the same money. And they have been, as in the past, the corporate interests, they carpet bomb Congress with lobbyists and picked off vulnerable lawmakers one by one.
Mm-hmm.
And David Sirota recently had an interesting piece about how special interest groups only have to buy a handful of politicians from poor or underpopulated areas, mostly from the South and
David
Western
Sirota
parts.
David Sirota is who?
David Sirota is, if you want, he's a writer, an analyst, political analyst, and is writing, you know,
like in the New York Times, because I don't get that, or
mostly the more alternate.
Okay.
Sometimes I think Druth Dig.
Okay.
Places like that.
I'm going to take a break right now. Station break. This is Wilp's Wake Up Call, the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, and this is Lori Hoyt, your host. And with Heidi Kober, we're talking about the grim picture that at this point healthcare is sliding down to, and there's still a chance to intervene. We're going to talk about that also, but I want to let you know that we are underwritten by Internationalist Bookstore, 405 West Franklin Street, and you can get information on internationalistbooks.org. And if you want more information about the Women's International League, we have a wonderful website. And on that website, you can also link to all of our previous radio shows, which I think a lot of the topics are still pertinent, because these issues go on and on, and it's a struggle that we have to keep going. And our website is trianglewilp.org. And also, you can stream WCOM at WCOMFM.org. So, back to Heidi Kober and talking about how the corporate forces, and so many people are saying now that the corporations really rule the country more than our elected representatives, because it's like, you might just call it legalized bribery, which goes into another topic for another radio show about campaign finance reform. Max Baucus on the Senate Finance Committee gets, I think, more than 25 or 30% of his campaign funds from the different mm-hmm. health industry for profit groups, and so do so many of the others. The Blue Dog Democrats, as you were saying, some of them from poor areas, they don't even have to pour that much into their campaign funds, because it doesn't take as much money as some of the others to get elected. So there's the forces of money and corporations are fighting against, and at this point being very powerful, against the interests of the people. And so many polls have shown that the people, more than 70%, when it's explained what you're talking about, want either single payer or a very strong public option. They want health care reform that's meaningful. So Heidi, back to you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, in the example of the Blue Dogs, for example, show how a handful of politicians represent about 4% of the American population. Between them, literally hold the rest of us hostage to their demands. And the well-funded health industry's PR arm uses fear, distortion, outright lies.
Yes.
Even, and blankets the airways with their propaganda everywhere. They spend $1.4 million a day.
A day?
A day.
Oh, my gosh. I knew it was bad. It's always, every time you think it's bad, you're going to find out it's a lot worse.
But they just don't leave it just to the airways. On the ground, they mobilize those shock troops we talked about earlier.
Sending them in buses.
That pose as ordinary citizens to make their case or just shout louder than anyone else. And one of the people behind those groups is North Carolina's very own Art Pope, a multimillionaire.
Oh, that
right-wing Republican. Actually, the Republican headquarters is named after him. He has been so helpful. He was outed on Rachel Maddow's show on Wednesday evening. Pope is director of Americans for Prosperity and its subsidiary Patients First. And the two groups are part of the effort to organize town hall takeovers. If you go to recessrally.com, RECESSRALLY.com, you can check it out for yourself. This is a call, nationwide call, for all these folk to come to their local town halls to disrupt it. And what they're told is to bring signs, they're given the slogans, the talking points, and they're told to have one group be the disruptors and the other group filming it so they can send in the coverage of it, and that's what we see on television. So every town hall meeting looks chaotic and crazy and completely confuses and upsets people.
So they're taking grassroots techniques and, as usual, perverting them to undo democracy.
That's right. You know, even though the grassroots aspect of the folks who disrupt town hall meetings is fake.
It's a fake grassroots. Absolutely.
We have to be careful because their anger is real.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to also, we ignore that anger at our own peril. You know, while the mob scenes make for some good laughs on late night television shows, we need to be really concerned about that toxic mix of racism, bigotry, and tribal warfare that's being carefully cultivated by the groups organizing these disaffected and disempowered Americans.
Mm-hmm.
For them, it is the end of a way of life.
Mm-hmm.
And race is very much an issue.
Wow. That aspect I had not heard addressed before. That's
now,
really
when Obama, remember Obama made that comment that he got lots of grief for during his campaign about people who cling to their religion and their guns out of bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of truth to it.
Mm-hmm.
It was just not smart to say it out loud. But there are folk, and it's becoming Sotomayor's a confirmation has brought that out too.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people who have lived with white privilege all of their lives. They have taken that on as their birthright. And as the country is changing to a multicultural nation, they cannot accept it, they cannot deal with it, and so they need someone to blame,
and they may be more quiescent, except that the corporations have been so smart
that's right,
to fan up these flames and whip up this sort of right-wing populist things, which is similar to Germany.
That's right.
This is very scary. I've heard it compared to the brown shirts in Germany, who also really believed that they were doing this for the homeland, for the fatherland, and went and became a mob, and we know what happened there. And this is what, it's a kind of a dangerous brew.
That is.
But the corporations have the money. They feel to keep control, but they are whipping up this frenzy.
That's right. And we also saw it during the Salem Palin rallies. That same anger, that same feeling that their America was taken away from them. And wedge issues are very helpful to the our corporate rulers, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. they divide us. They can pit us in against one another. So we end up not as thinking as a united American voters, but are broken into tribal areas where every group protects its own mm-hmm. and tries to hoard and keep away from the other group what they feel is theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So in the case of healthcare reform, the reason our system is broken in their minds is because of illegal immigrants who are mm-hmm. sucking the system dry, mm-hmm. because of bleeding heart liberals who expand, you know, the rights of people who don't want to work.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
The
all
lazy
those people
ones,
who don't.
the welfare crowd,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Obama's election, in a way, has brought it out in the open,
mm-hmm.
because here is proof that yeah. their white America is a thing of the past,
mm-hmm.
and as you said, we have to be very careful, because
mm-hmm.
that toxic racist brew
boy.
Can be turned into violence mm-hmm. very easily.
Yes, it can.
And it's like remember the story about calling the magician's apprentice who's calling on all these powers, you know, the sorcerer's apprentice, yeah, and then could not control what he brought forth because he did not have the power. And this is what's happening right now. For political reasons, these people are stirred up, are being made to
funded.
Blame.
Funded,
that's
straight
right.
up, and funded to go on these buses.
To blame the liberals, to blame
yes.
the gays, to blame
yeah.
the uppity women, blame
yes.
minorities, blame illegal immigrants for all the ills that have befallen them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's also a way, you know, of the people who really were the cause of their diminishing prosperity
mm-hmm.
and chances in life because of trade deals that ship jobs overseas. So it's a way of distracting people from the real source of their pain.
That use of distraction.
And then divide us
mm-hmm.
so that they can conquer us more easily.
And distract and divide. And I've heard the blue dog Democrats, and I mentioned this before, it was a phrase that stuck with me, the lapdogs for the corporations. And
yeah.
I think the power of the corporations is more and more. If they mess up any real health care reform, I think that of all the different issues that progressives have, that's the issue that we're going to have to get out and
yeah.
help the American people understand
yeah.
how the corporations are ruling the world. Remember that book that came
yeah.
out by David Corten? I never read the book, but the title stuck with me. We have a few minutes left, and we've been laying out a grim and sad picture. Can you tell us some things quickly? We don't have 5 minutes. We only have a few minutes. What are some websites or something that people who want to still struggle for good
yeah.
health care do?
Well, HCAN.org is
HCAN.org.
Yeah, the Healthcare for America Now.
Okay.
And NC Roots. This is a local group that has been bringing healthcare.
.org, ncroots.org,
yeah.
okay.
And also, I want to draw attention to the annual meeting for the Progressive Democrats of North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you said, the corporations seem to rule everything. Our theme at our meeting, September 19th at North Carolina State University's McKimmon Center, is how to confront corporatocracy and save our democracy. And we have speakers, Bob Hall, our own local.
And who do they get in touch with to find out more about that?
Please come to our website, progressivedemocratsnc.org.
ProgressiveDemocratsNC.org. For more information about September 19th. If we have a minute, I just want to mention quickly, there's going to be a healthcare town hall meeting Thursday, August 13th, 6:45 at NC Central University, the Miller Morgan Building, Thursday, August 13th. And you can